Give him all the praise. Thank him for everything. Appreciate him. What a faithful God we serve. Thank him. Appreciate him. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Ancient of Days, we bless your name. Speak to our hearts this morning. Can we ask the Lord to speak to our hearts? Let the seed of his word that is about to be sown in our hearts, let it bear fruit. We thank you, precious Father. To you be all the praise. In Jesus' precious name, we worship. And the church will shout a louder amen. Put your hands together for Jesus as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, you are all welcome to church this morning. My prayer is that the Lord himself will perfect that which concerns you. Praise God. This morning I want to be sharing with us on what I title Numbering Our Days. Well, particularly because of the Youth Day, it's important that there are things we must have to understand. We do not have all the time. Praise the Lord. We do not have all the time. We are on transit as long as we are here on earth. We are on what? Transit, yes. And we have few years to spend and then we'll transit onto eternity. The obvious fact is that when we look at these things properly, it behooves us to say that with the life we are living now is not actually the real life. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Because if after the life here, we have to transit onto eternity, is a clear indication that the one we are living now would not be the real life. Am I right? Yes, it is. Because that which is unto eternity should be of greater priority to us. You know, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have what? Everlasting life. But you see, the translation for that word everlasting life is not actually the appropriate translation. Because the truth is, everyone has everlasting life. Am I right? Yes. The unbeliever too will have what? Everlasting life. The actual translation, everlasting life, means Zoe, the life of God. Not in the context of a life that is everlasting. So when the scripture says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The root word there that was translated into everlasting life that was not properly translated means will have the life of Christ. That is why Jesus came. That whosoever believes in him will have what? The life of Christ. Zoe. That's the word that was translated everlasting. Of course, you know, with the issue of translation, they are bound to translate based on the limited language and words they have as at the time of translation. But we know better that everlasting life is not the translation. Zoe is translated from the Greek word life of God. Praise the Lord. So everyone is guaranteed everlasting life. The circumstance under which you will be guaranteed everlasting life is to be born through a woman. The moment you are born on earth through a woman, you are guaranteed what? Everlasting life. Even when you are gone from the world, you still go on to live. But the problem now is where the person will live. Now, as I speak to the youth this morning, I want to be very brief and precise because I want to focus on a few things. Let's look at Psalms chapter 90 from verse 10 to 12. Psalms chapter 90 from verse 10 to 12. It says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 70 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we do what? Fly away. So if by reason of strength, now what the scripture is saying, that the years of a man's life is 70 years, and if by reason of strength, maybe because he or she was able to abide by certain principles and regulations that helped him, it says if by reason of strength he or she crosses 70, then the person would have what? 80 years. Praise the Lord. Now we discover that before the flood in the days of Noah, man lived up to 900 years. In fact, more than 900 years. Praise the Lord. And upwards. Now, after the flood, when we read Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, okay, let's look at that scripture verse. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. You will discover that after the flood, the Lord said, and my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So the moment the days of the flood was over, there was a speculation theologically that God chose to cut down man's lifespan, as against the people before the time of the flood that had up to 900 years and thereabout. God now chose to reduce it to 120 years. Now, but as at the time Moses was speaking in Psalms chapter 90, actually Moses was the one who wrote this book of Psalms chapter 90. You may not know, except I tell you, it was Moses that wrote Psalms chapter 90. Now he's speaking, he says, the days of a man is 70 years. And if by reason of strength he exceeds 70, then he may be able to get what? 80 years. And he said even that 80 years, by the time you exceed 70, and by reason of strength you have going into 80 years, he said the 80 years will be with so much labor and pain. Those who have crossed 70 years know what we are talking about. That sometimes some would even prefer that they do not exceed 70. Because by the time you have passed 70 and you are moving into 80 by reason of strength, those few 10 years left more will be with pain. It will be with many health challenges. It will come with many difficulty because the person is striving to exceed the period that was what? Stipulated. There are some hidden beliefs and culture, I can't remember the group now, that they believed and actually went on that when a person reaches 70, they want to kill the person because they assume that the actual year stipulated is 70. But now when we begin to look at all these things, we discover what is so critical. One of the greatest key to longevity is what? Walking in God's ways. Now, because of the sin of man, we discover that based on seasons and times, after God destroyed the flood, he looked at man, he decided that he would make it just 120 years. But in the time of Moses, Moses was speaking, he says, it is 70 and at most 80. And the group of people Moses was talking to at this time, we are majority of those who we are rebellious, that we are to move from Egypt into the promised land. And we are told that is when some of these regulations were done. So that people will have 70 years or at most 80 years. Now, I say this to young people. The moment you get up to 40 years, the chances are very high that you have lived half of your life on earth. I know you don't like to hear that kind of story, but I'll say it again. Some of us who have already crossed 40, we know too well that the moment you get to 40 years, the chances are very high you have lived up to half of your life on earth. That is the truth. So that you begin to walk with the consciousness and understanding of what is left for you. And that's why the psalmist says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart to wisdom. If we fail to number our days, we will think we have all the time on earth to live. You discover that in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 11, when Solomon made so much sacrifice, and in one day he offered 1,000 rams to God, the Bible tells us that God came down that very night out of excitement because of all the things Solomon had offered to him. And God, Solomon, ask of me anything you want. Tell me anything you want, and I will what? Do it for you. When you read to that scripture, okay, let's look at that scripture verse again. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's do some of this reading before I begin to quickly flow. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is very interesting. Fix your eyes on verse 11. Okay, let's begin from verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he had walked before me in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kingdom, this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Verse 10 says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And the Lord said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself what? Neither hast thou asked what? Riches. Nor hast asked for the what? Life of thy enemies. But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. Take note of verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Did you see that? I have also given you that which thou hast not asked. What was that he didn't ask? Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy fathers David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. When we look at scripture, we discover that one of the major key to longevity on earth is walking in God's ways. God said to Solomon, you didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't even ask for long life. Then he went on to say, these three things and others you didn't ask of, I have given to you too. But he now paused at long life. I said, but for long life, sir, I will add that one if you walk in my ways. Now that means that even though Solomon asked for wisdom, God was not so excited to add long life to his demand for wisdom. Because the truth remains that the reason man's lifespan is being shortened today is because man has refused to walk in God's ways. From the days of Noah, the moment God wiped away the first generation, he cut down man's lifespan. What was it even that caused man to live a life on earth that was regulated by time? It was the fall of man. Am I right? When God created Adam and Eve, there was no duration to which God had planned they would live, as in a time frame. God wanted them to live forever. But God gave them a condition. If they will have to live forever, it was dependent on them partaking on the tree of life, which will cause them to bat the life of Christ or God in them. But rather than choose the tree of life, man chose to do what? Eat the forbidden fruit. And you read through the scripture, the moment man ate the forbidden fruit, God's response to it was that God said, man has become like one of us, lest he put his hand also and eat the tree of life and live forever. Did you get it? That was what God said. Man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. At the time of creation, God only wanted man to have a mental knowledge of sin, but not an experiential knowledge of sin. So God created man within the scope of the ability to assist him have a mental knowledge and understanding that there was something called sin and evil, but not an experiential knowledge. Because God knew that whether he teaches them or not, they will come in terms with it, because the devil was already in existence. And one day he will access the garden. So what God had to do was to plant a tree of knowledge of good and evil, to assist them have a mental knowledge that there is something called good and evil. But rather than take the fruit of life and live forever with the mental knowledge of a sense of judgment that there is good and evil, man chose to eat the fruit. And when he had an experiential knowledge of what God didn't want him to have knowledge of, God said, the only bet now is that I will take the tree of life from him. Let him not live forever. God knew he would have a bigger problem if if after man had eaten the tree of good and evil, and I have had an experiential knowledge of evil, and then now we can't die again. Hey, do you know what you will do to God? God said, no. These men have crossed the boundary. And that was why very quickly God had to drive them away from the Garden of Eden, lest they eat the tree of life and live forever. There is always a connection between longevity and abiding in God's will. And as the years of man begins to climb, we discover that God begins to regulate man's lifespan based on how evil and wicked man has become. It's no wonder today that we see obituary posters of people of 21 years old, 32 years old. And some of them, you wonder, what happened to these people? Some of them just sleep and die. Sickness just come and they die. How is it now happening in my own generation? Earlier before now, we don't see young men and women die at that age. But today, any age is good enough for somebody to fall sick and die. Before, it was hard to find a young man fall sick at the age of 32, 25, and die. What is killing him? What kind of sickness is killing him? When his organs and everything should still be active, and when he should have, at least he has done nothing with life. But today, there is no age limit under which people cannot fall sick and die. It gives us a reason to ask questions. What is happening to the youths and the young men of our generation? We must investigate these things. If we want God to guarantee us life, the connection is with abiding in His ways. That was how God designed it. There's a system of program that God created that as man interfaces with Him, whether he goes to the hospital or not, the mere fact that man interfaces with God, it has a way of rejuvenating man. Did you hear what I said? Interfacing with God has a way of rejuvenating man and restoring life and health in him. But the longer we separate ourselves from God, the chances are that anything can take our lives. The truth, when we see verse 11 of the scripture where we read, did we read verse 11? No. In Psalms chapter 90, let's quickly look at verse 11. Psalms chapter 90. I'll begin to move this very quickly now so that I can round this teaching up today. Praise the Lord. And verse 11 says, who knoweth the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Who knows the power of your anger? Praise the Lord. One of the things we must dare to know in these last days is to know the power of God's anger. Not by experiencing God venting His wrath on us, but by looking at what has happened to people who God vented His wrath upon. Did you hear what I said? And that is where wisdom begins to come in. One of those that have tested a bit of the power of God's wrath is the devil and fallen angels. That is why you will notice when Satan came down to the earth, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 verse 12 that he came down with fury because he knows his time is short. And the truth is that, child of God, this is one revelation that the devil has known, that today even many of church people are not yet awakened to it, that the time is short. So we live our lives as young men, as young women, as though we have all the time. We live our lives as though we can do anything we choose to do, and in time to come, in few years, we can then repent and walk in the ways of God. We fail to realize that the time is short. I listened to a young man share a testimony of how the Lord called him into ministry. And he said one of the days he was standing at a park, and when he walked to that park, he was there. The Lord told him, he was looking at one man selling something, a young boy. He said the Lord told him, go and preach to him. And he said he was there waiting for a while. He said the voice came again, go and preach to him. Now this man of God said while he was there standing, the same person the Lord was speaking to him to go and preach to, somebody beckoned on him to come and sell what he was carrying on his head. He said as he ran to cross the road, a vehicle came and crossed him and killed him there. He said that the young man died. He said he stood there for a while wondering what has just happened. Because he said God spoke to him, go and preach to him. He didn't know that the person he was to preach to had a very short time, that in few minutes that was to come, he was to exit the world. he was still trying to make up his mind to move to preach, somebody called him to come and sell what he was carrying. As he was crossing the road, a vehicle knocked him and he died on the spot. The devil knows the time is short. Young man and young woman, you must open your eyes to realize you have few days on earth. And the earlier you begin to plan your life, the better for you. And I told you, I said, one of the persons that I've tested of the wrath of God is the devil and fallen angels. I told you this some time ago. In God's program, because only man was created in the image of God, that was a simple reason, even before the fall of man, God had to make a plan for redemption. But for angels, there is no plan of redemption for them. The moment an angel goes wrong, he is doomed to internal destruction. There's no plan of redemption. What was Satan's offense? Have he committed an offense that is greater than the one man commits today? Just the same offense. Rebellion. We have become even more rebellious to some large extent, but yet God still calls us. Because there's a redemptive plan he has for man. That even though he knew man was going to fall, but because he had designed man in his image, he wouldn't want to let man. The psalmist will question, what is it that thou art mindful of us? What is it about man? It's simply having created us in his image. For the angels, they were a product of light. They were not created in the image of God. So there is no plan of redemption for them. The moment they go wrong, they face judgment. I'm sure some of you would know that there are even more wicked angels, fallen demons, than the devil. The devil isn't the most wicked of them. When you read, the scripture tells us that there were some of the angels that God cast down and bound them with chains. Are you aware of that? Yes. There were some fallen angels as they were falling. The moment they came to the earth, God bound those ones with chains. Why did he leave the devil to be walking? And there are some that the scripture says will be revealed after the time of the rapture of the saints. That is when you will see more wicked fallen spirits. More wicked ones. So even God himself had to bind some with chain, so that they wouldn't operate now. Only God has the knowledge of the ones he bound with chain, what exactly they are and how they operate. They are bound with chains. But he left the devil to operate. Praise the Lord. He came down knowing that the time is short. That is one revelation that many Christians have not known yet. So we live as though we have all the time. There was no redemptive plan for angels. So probably understand God's wrath. So they probably understand God's wrath better than man. May any of us never test the power of God's wrath. You didn't hear what I pray. I say, may any of us not test the power of God's wrath. I don't think you want to test it. I don't think you want to test it. You know, we are told that hell boils with sulfur. Is it in the scripture? Now, let me explain something to you. Maybe you don't know. The boiling point of water is what? 100 degrees centigrade. That is when water starts boiling. The moment water hits 100 degrees, it starts to boil. Now, think of what happens to you when somebody boils water and pour it on you. But sulfur does not boil at 100 degrees centigrade. At 100 degrees, sulfur has not started boiling. It is still preparing to gather heat. Did you hear what I said? At 100, sulfur is still preparing to gather heat. We are told that sulfur starts boiling from 250 degrees. That is when sulfur starts boiling. And then we are told that in hell, the liquid substance that boils there is not water but sulfur. My brother, I'm sure you know what the wrath of God is all about. It starts boiling at 250 degrees centigrade. That's when sulfur starts boiling. And that is the reason I believe that in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, that a time came in the life of the rich man when he pleaded for a drop of water. I don't know how many of you would ever be thirsty on earth and then demand for water, and I bring a drop and you will thirst it and take from me. Sir, you were thirsty and you required water and you pleaded I should bring water. I dip my hand in water. I said, well, open your mouth. You ignore me, you won't take it. But right in hell was a man pleading for a drop of water. He didn't say, give me a cup. He said, just dip your finger and come. Let me open my tongue. Just drop it. Just a drop. Let it just touch my... I don't know how far it will cool his tongue. But that tells you the torment he was into. It's time we must have to wake. As young men and women, let us not experience the wrath of God. I pray again for you that the Lord will help every one of us not to test of the wrath of God. Amen. We must have to begin to walk in his ways. Then we move to verse 12, where the scripture tells us, and I'll begin to round up from this point. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what? Wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Friends, one man said that the summary of all the days you have on earth is just 3 days. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's the summary of all the days you have on earth. 3 days. Yesterday, today, and what? Tomorrow. And it behooves us as young people that the earlier we rise and begin to plan, nothing or no one teaches better as the Spirit. Experience may teach you, and you still fail to apply your heart to wisdom. Did you hear what I said? Nothing or no one teaches better than the what? The Spirit of God. Experience may teach you, and you still fail to apply your heart to wisdom. And that's why the psalmist said, teach us to number our days. It's only when God has taught you on the numbering of your days, then you realize how much of the time is left for you to pursue what is most important in your life. If you think experience is the best teacher, you are mistaken. Because many times experience may teach us, and yet we don't learn wisdom. How many times have armed robbers been gotten? People apprehended them and beat hell out of them, and yet they didn't learn wisdom. After some days, they go and steal again. Did they learn wisdom? No, they didn't. Experience? No. Experience. As long as there is a spirit of the enemy at work, experience may hardly let you learn wisdom. And that's why only God can teach you to number your days. I've told you this, and I'll begin to round up here. There are only 3 things you can do with your life. As a young man, there are only what? 3 things you can do with your life. You can choose to spend your life. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Spend your life. Many people spend their lives on earth, and little wonder when they die, you see their obituary with gratitude to God for the life well spent. May your life not just be well spent. Well, life well spent. How was it well spent? He grew as a good young man, good young lady. Got to 30 when his age mates were marrying, he got married. When they were having children, he got children, he went to school. And then he trained his children, and eventually he died. A life well spent. May your life not just be well spent alone. Amen. And then there are those who waste their lives. That's another thing as a young man you can do with your life. You can choose to waste your life, and then you die for nothing. A young man is sent to school. Rather than concentrate on the school where he has been sent to, he joined the cult groups. He joined all forms of things. Never mind in our society and in this country today, we have come to a time where people even die who have no business dying. And that's why you should pray more. Because there are those who waste their lives today in Nigeria. Their lives are wasted. Not because they did anything that warranted it, but because of the kind of country we have found ourselves. Lives are being wasted. And then we have those who invest their lives. And that is where, as a young man, as a young woman, your focus should be in investing your life. And I always say this, when you see a person whose life is invested, even after he is dead, he still keeps what? Living. I will say this again. There are some dead that are more alive than the living. Have you heard that before? There are some dead that are more alive. Dead men. But they are more alive than those that are what? Living. Because they have invested their lives. And even when they are gone, the purpose they served on earth begins to speak and is a message that many people hear about. These are those that are dead, but they are living. 2 years ago, Michael Jackson's socks was sold. 2 years ago, his socks were sold for millions. His socks. A man who died many years ago. This is a man who is dead, but is alive. Even though he didn't produce good works, so to say, from the Christian angle. But believe me, even after he was dead, his works were still speaking for him. May that be your portion. Amen. That long after you have exited this earth, because of the impact you have created, generations will still keep talking about you. Amen. That is what our lives ought to be. Then our lives can count. Many years after the man was dead, people sold his socks. And if I tell you how much income he is generating, even in his death. Do you know there are people who generate income in their death? Even after they are dead, they are generating income. But some of you who are even alive are struggling to generate income. You are alive and you are struggling to generate income. And a man who is dead is still generating income. I don't know when they will sell his heart, if it's still available. One of these days they will bring it out for sale and people will buy it. Because the man made an impact while he was alive. We are told that, apart from Jesus Christ, that he is the second most popular person that existed on earth. And it's possibly true. Because when he was alive, there are few people that doesn't know that man. Even children as small as they are, when they see his picture, they say Michael Jackson. Whoever told them, only God knows. This is a man that made an impact. As a young man, you must allow your life to count. Focus on what is important. I've always told you, you don't have all the time. You don't have what? All the time. Don't forget, there is time for everything. And if you fail to do what you should do at the right time, unfortunately, when you go to pursue it, you will pursue it with more difficulty. And that's why today you see some elderly men and women walking. I told you this some time ago. An old woman I met in Abakeleke. An old woman who was hawking something. I can't remember what she was carrying on her head. An old woman. Today there are elderly people who live as though they never had the opportunity of youthfulness. And you ask yourself, what happened to them when they were youthful? At that old age, she was still hawking. I calculated everything. I said I consciously was following her behind and counting everything on her head. I calculated all per the value of each. It was not more than 3,000 naira. And I was asking myself, what will now be this old woman's gain at the end of the day? In fact, the money she would even spend for drugs after walking that distance wouldn't even allow her to see money for food. But that is what she has put herself into. That's why you see elderly people that live as though they never had the opportunity of youthfulness. Young man, young woman, You don't have all the time. Begin to plan your life now. Are you listening to me? It's not just enough to come out to say you're celebrating youth day and dance and dance and get excited. You must go back with a message. After this, what next? What is your plan about your life? How have you programmed your life? There's a way you would live your life. Eventually, at the end of the day, you will realize you have wasted your time. The truth remains, you can't travel back in time. Any time you have lost, you have lost it. Did you hear what I said? Today is what? 21st day of October 2021. And any day and second that passes by, you can't have it back. If you will ever see another Sunday, believe me, it can never be in October in 2021. Am I right? You can never. So any day you have missed, you have missed it. And one man of God says, the unit of destiny is time. Don't forget this. The unit of destiny is what? Time. It takes time to fulfill your destiny. If you are playing with your time, you are playing with your destiny. Two things as a young man, a young woman, you must never play with, and I will close. Your time and your talent. You may play with every other thing, but you see your time and your talents. The moment you play with these two things, you are playing with your life. If you fail to use your time appropriately to pursue what you will what should be pursued per time, you are playing with your life. At the end of it all, when the chips are down, you will realize you have wasted your life. Never play with your time. Never play with your time. There is time for everything. There is time for everything. If you fail to do what you should do at a given time, you ought to do it. The next time you choose to do it, no matter how you try, it will be more difficult. Believe me. I've always told you this. There were years in my life I desired to learn a keyboard. I never had one. Praise the Lord. And part of my major challenge why I didn't learn it then was because I never did what? I never had one. At the time I went to music school to enroll. And it was so frustrating because the one they had there was these ones that work with air. As you are pumping it with your leg, then you are playing. So even the little energy I had and the zeal to play the keyboard, I had to use it to be pumping the thing. And I got tired and I left it. Sometimes I get it, they say there's no light. Go to the manual keyboard and I sit down there and I'm pumping the thing and I'm playing. And I got tired of playing keyboard. I left it and went away. I couldn't afford to buy one. But today, I have one in my house. But still, it's difficult for me to learn. Because, you see this head of mine, there are bigger problems on it than for me to now sit down at this age and begin to learn keyboard. There are more things I'm thinking of. My problem now is not the keyboard. I have it now. But I can't concentrate again. How can I concentrate to be playing keyboard when I have school fees and other things to do? I can't concentrate again. There's a time as a young man when you will focus to learn skills. Don't forget this. Skills are not always easily learned every time. There's a time to focus and learn skills. If you miss learning skills at that time, when you want to learn it again, you will learn it with trouble. You are 35 years old. You want to go and start learning skills. While you are learning, hunger will be killing you first. Your bills won't be waiting for you to finish learning and start before it comes. Did you hear what I said? Your bills that you are to pay will not wait for you to finish learning. Whether you like it or not, bills will be coming. And you can't concentrate to learn the skill again. A it is that time you are small, you are living in a free house, that you don't know the value of the house. You know, when I was much younger, I used to see myself as my parents' responsibility. You don't know the value of a free house. You eat food and go. You don't know the value of what it costs to get the food. That is the time to learn skills. When you will have to pay for your food with money, my brother, you can't easily learn skill. The hunger alone won't allow you. You will do it with more difficulty. You fail to realize when you are wasting your time, you are wasting your destiny. And the second thing you must not play with is talents. I've always said this. To Joseph, it was the interpreting of dreams. To David, it was the playing of harp. Every man has a potential that can bring him or her before kings. Everyone. The problem is that only few take time to develop it. Joseph was so skillful in interpreting dreams, and a time will come when Pharaoh will have a dream and they will look for Joseph. David was so skillful in playing harp that he will so worship God with his giftings and his talents. A time will come when an evil spirit will come upon Saul and they will seek out someone that is skillful to play that instrument, and they will send for just David. And as David begins to play the minstrel, the Bible tells us the evil spirit that was in Saul will do what? Will run away. Now, this was an evil spirit that the scripture says that the Lord himself allowed. Did you hear what I said? The Lord allowed the evil spirit to enter him. But when David begins to worship in the presence of Saul, that evil spirit goes away for a while and wait for the worship to be over before it comes back. Now, follow me. If music could drive evil spirits away, don't you think that music can invite them? By the law of reversal. If playing certain spiritual sounds and melodies can drive evil spirits away, don't you think that there are some kind of music that will bring them? As a young man, when you are playing Bakuruba anywhere you did, you don't know there's a demon you are inviting. You don't realize there's a demon you are inviting. It will come. It is a social media today that is taking all the time of our youth. I told you a few days ago how I consciously went and downloaded the song of Joe Boy, because I came across videos where young men and women are singing and pouring things on themselves. I said, what is this all about? And I saw it was a song of Joe Boy. I said, what is this Joe Boy singing? I never knew who the guy was before. That's how I know some of these people. I went online, I googled on YouTube Joe Boy's music, and I downloaded it. I said, let me listen to what this boy is playing. And I listen to the song so that I can know where the youth of my generation is going to. I think now they have moved from Joe Boy's alcohol challenge. There's another one they have gone into now. And that is what the youth are. Oh my goodness. Something is wrong with these people. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your destiny. You must decide in yourself. There are certain things you must let go of so that you'll be able to fulfill your destiny on earth. You must. You play every kind of song. In fact, all the gist online, you are with it. I think the one trending now is Tiwa. And then is it Abokrik or whatever you call it? whatever his name is. Oh my goodness. You see, God has to help the youth of this generation. Technology that is meant to have been for our benefit is now ruining our lives. Technology. the tragic story of this gospel, this singer. I was on my Facebook page, because I'm always connected to many newspaper channels. Four companies of sorts that has actually, signed up a contract with her. They have withdrawn it. 21st century. Camera. You want to video everything. Madness. Somebody in Akwiko and he wants to video non-Akwiko. You are videoing everything you want to video. We must have to live with understanding. Number your days, you don't have all the time. And if care is not taken, the music career she has built for many years, even though she had never been a very good person, so to say, because I don't know what she has been hiding, because she has always been exposing everything all the while. But now it's about to be affected because of one singular action. I'll close and I say this. Never underestimate the power of one. Never underestimate the power of one. Because most times as young men and women, when the devil come tempting us, he may suggest to us just this once. It can be a very subtle way of pulling you into the wrong thing. Just this once. I've seen people make one wrong mistake, do one wrong thing that eventually ruins their life forever. The question you should ask yourself is, how small is one? How small is one? When the devil suggests to you just this once, how small is one? It paints a picture of one being so small and being so insignificant and not mattering so much. But there could be a sad experience from where you will learn that just one mistake, one wrong turn in your path to destiny may stop you from never getting to where you want to go. Just one. And today our young men are falling for one. One. The next time the devil suggests to you just this once, ask him, how small is one? How small is one? One. You may make one mistake, even in business. There have been people who rose in business that just one wrong decision crumbled everything they had invested in. Are you aware of that? Yes, just one. One wrong mistake. That's why you still need God's guidance. You can never grow too big in your pursuit. And in business, you can make one mistake and you may come begging for money the next day. Just one. Just one. You may just import only one container and something goes wrong in that one, and the next time you are looking for food to eat. One accident only can happen to someone, and in sequence of events he goes begging. One ill health alone, may that not be your portion. Amen. There are people that just one health condition crippled their entire life. They spent all their livelihood trying to treat that sickness. Just one. One. They spend all their livelihood trying to treat that sickness and they never recover from it. How small is one? We must be careful. Young man, young woman, never underestimate the power of one. Let's rise to our feet. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Are you numbering your days? Or do you still think you have all the time? Ever young. Young mass. Whatever name you add to the young in your life, you are growing old. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, you are growing old. Turn to that. Tell him you are growing old. You are growing old. I know, young lady, you don't like to hear that. Women don't like to hear that word. That's why You may see them celebrate birthday 24, 28, 27. Next, they celebrate 22 again. This was somebody who celebrated 25th year's birthday 4 years ago. And after 4 years, the person is celebrating 21. Women, you are growing old. Young man, you are growing old. Begin to plan. Make hay now while the sun shines. You don't have all the time on earth to live. Teach us to number our days. I pray the Holy Spirit himself will begin to educate you on the numbering of your days. I say only the Holy Spirit can help you. Number your days and you come out with revelation and insights that will help you drive your years ahead. Experience can't teach you. Experience can't teach you to number your days. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you to number your days. That should always be your prayer. Lord, teach me to number my days. I don't have all the time here on earth. Every day that passes by is a unit of my destiny that is going. Am I pursuing what I'm here for? Or am I just living my life anyhow? Teach me to number my days, that I begin to apply my heart to wisdom. The moment you start numbering your days, then you begin to apply your heart to wisdom. To know there are things you should avoid now. To know there are things you must pursue now. To know there are friends you must keep away if your destiny will be secured. But if you have not numbered your days, everything will go. There's a people my elder brother call, anyway is a way. Anyway is a way. But when you begin to number your days, you will know that every way is not a way. There are things that you will do that will count. Can you just lift your voice and talk to God this morning? Help me to number my days. You say you are an elderly man. You have already lived many years of your life. But God can still use you as a positive message to the young generation, that when they see you, they will remember the progress you have made. Teach me to number my days. If you are up to 40 years, you have lived half of your life on earth. The chances are very high. Are you beginning to number your days? Knowing you don't have all the time, but you are still answering ever young. Some people don't even like to say, how old are you? They say, how young are you? Just to create the impression they are younger. But you are growing old. I can see white hair from your nose. You are growing old. You are growing old. Begin to count your life now. I can see wrinkles coming out from your face. You don't like to hear that, young girl. But I can see it. Begin to count. You don't have all the time. Live with a sense of purpose. Live with a sense of understanding. There is something you are here to pursue. Keep away from those who will limit and frustrate your life. You are here for a purpose. You are not just an accident here on earth. You are here for a purpose. Teach me to number my days. Can someone cry out to God this morning? Help me, teach me. Teach me, Holy Spirit, to number my days. I don't have all the time. Let me focus on what is important for my life. Let me not be pursuing shadow at this time of my age. No. You are 25, you are 26. You still think it's a time you have to enjoy yourself as a young man. There are people that have enjoyed themselves and made mistakes that they live to regret the rest of their lives. I pray that will not be your portion. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may begin to apply our hearts to wisdom. Are there people this morning that have lost their way spiritually? Lord, I pray for a sense of direction. I pray for a sense of direction. Are there those living without a sense of purpose, moving in any direction, wherever? life turns them to, awaken within them a sense of purpose. Are there those who are still in doubt, who have not harnessed the best of their potentials? Help them, precious Lord. I pray for restoration. I pray for restoration. I pray for restoration. Restore even the wasted years. Restore even the wasted years. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.